31, 32, 33, we do not know. Just because Jesus died, 33, everybody says, when you go up there, everybody become 33. And I say, there's no scripture, but it's a good guess. Right? It's a good guess. Possibly, you know, perfected. And at that age. And in heaven, you know each other. And then I realized that all the gifts of the Spirit are only a foretaste of heaven. The word of knowledge is that's a little bit of what is normal in heaven. The power of the Holy Spirit in bringing life to dead cells is only a little bit of what heavenly life is about, where things never die. I believe it's in the book of Hebrews that it talks about the Holy Spirit's gift as tasting the powers of the age to come. Wow. That's why the Holy Spirit has to come. To give us a foretaste. Is it that's enough? No, not enough. Here's a greater blessing. And it says here, all the blessings of Abraham come through his Spirit by faith. By this faith, all the blessings of Abraham, all the promises uttered in Abraham will come to our lives. In chapter 3 and 4, there's one key word there. Here, we are just born again. We are child. Chapter 1 and 2. But in chapter 3 and 4, you notice here, let me read the scriptures so that you could have the whole picture. In verse 1 and 2 of chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardian and stewards. He put the law as guardians and stewards until the time appointed to the father, by the father. And he says, so we all were. We were children. But he's saying, now you are sons. In chapter 1 and 2, it's just like Jesus coming, the faith in our life. Born again. Chapter 3 and 4, you're sons of God. The purpose why the Holy Spirit comes is so that we could rise to the stature that Jesus has. Remember, the Holy Spirit only came on Jesus' life when Jesus was 30 years old. It came upon him. When he came up from the waters of baptism, the Spirit like a dove descended on him. So in the same manner, there is a new measure of the Holy Spirit that comes upon our life to bring us to the full stature as sons. And I like his quotation here, that he's saying there is a difference between a slave and a son. Now, have you noticed that prevalent in our recent charismatic teaching is a teaching about being servants of God, doulos. It is good. It is important. We start there. The greatest among you must be servants, and we must continue to have a servant's heart in serving one another. But we want you to know that that's only the beginning. When we learn the art of being a servant, he makes you a son. Servant is only beginning. We don't see the full benefits of sonship until we walk through the door called servanthood. But when you walk through the door called servanthood, you reach sonship. The purpose of God and the move of the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the Spirit is to bring the fullness of sonship to our lives. In Romans 8, this is the high purpose. Sadly, Because servantship is not taught either, so people will never move into sonship. Because if we try to move into sonship without servantship, it will become a prodigal son. Arrogant son. But when we move correctly, it will be being like Jesus. Though he was a son, he became a servant. Romans 8 says here, verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." What's the high purpose? It's to be a son of God. But we have degenerated that term until being a child of God and a son of God is like nothing. But when today people talk about greatness, they say, he is a servant of God. We have made servant greater than son. Oh, he's a servant of God. But when we talk, he's a son of God. Oh yeah, yeah, I know he's a believer. We don't associate greatness with sonship. We associate greatness with servantship, which is good in the fact that we understand that being great means being a servant. But if we do it to the destruction of what the meaning of sonship is, we have lost a truth. The highest privilege we have with God is being his son. Being sons of his. In Christ Jesus. Sitting with him in the heavenly place. Now, here in the book of Hebrews, the whole trust is again to sonship. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 10. For it was, chapter 2, verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, by whom are all things. That sounds like his faith in us. In bringing many sons to glory. Now, what's the goal of God? To make us full-fledged sons. Now, notice what Paul is saying in chapter 4 of Galatians, verse 1 and 2. He says, as long as a child, the son is a child, he is under the tutor called the law. But when we understand that the faith of Jesus Christ helps us to keep the law, it energizes within us, and when we understand that now you don't have the faith of Jesus energizing you only, now you have the Spirit energizing you. You rise to an even greater measure. Oh, when the Spirit energizes, it's at a different level. Sometimes your body cannot take it, that's why people fall under the power. Sometimes the body cannot take it, that's why you shake. When the Spirit energizes, it's at a far greater level. Greater, powerful level. And look over here at the book of John. First, before you start sonship, we start servantship. In chapter 13, he says here, the master became like a servant. In verse 14 onwards, 14 to 16, John 13, 14 to 16. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. See, sonship starts with servantship. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. So he starts with servantship. We learn servantship. It's good that we learn servantship. Sadly, more people should be learning servantship than is taught. But remember, it's only the beginning. Then Jesus goes on in John 15. He begins to talk about sonship. And part of what being sonship is called here in verse 15. John 15, verse 15. No longer do I call you servant. No longer do I call you servants, he says. For a servant does not know what his master is doing. Now notice the key he's trying to tell us. The servant only knows how to obey. We must first learn obedience. But after you learn obedience, you let the faith of Jesus Christ energize in your life and you obey the law. You obey the tutor. You fulfill the law. What's next? Jesus says, a servant doesn't know all things. But he says, the servant does not know what his master does, but he says, I have called you friend. Why do I call you friends? He says, because I'm going to tell you secret things for my Father. Hallelujah. He says here, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. In chapter 1 and 2, we learn servanthood. Chapter 3 and 4, we learn sonship. Hallelujah. And what true servantship is, you cannot obey Him, you cannot obey the law, you cannot obey His commands. Why? Because the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. But when the faith of Jesus Christ comes in, the flesh is no more weak. There's energy, you can obey. But that's not the end. Chapter 4 and 5, chapter 3 and 4, is to bring us to the secret place of the Most High God. Where you're heirs of God. Where He could tell you and show you all things of the Father. Show you even more things. For a servant does not know what his master is doing. But as a friend, the master tells you, you know why I'm doing these things. Abraham was called a friend of God. And God says, why should I keep Abraham from knowing what I'm going to do about Sodom and Gomorrah? Let me tell him too. And as a friend, he could intercede and enter the board meeting with God. And say, God, what happened if 50 are righteous? What happened if 40 are righteous? And change with the possibility of changing the destiny of two cities. Powerful friendship with God. Sonship means friendship with God. Because the son is now big. It's just like we all parents know there are three stages in bringing up children. The first is when they're under you. And then they grow to a stage where they're independent. Now you don't more talk down to them. You're on equal level. You got to relate to them as a friend. Sadly, many parents know what child upbringing is, but they don't know how to be a friend to their child. Then the third stage is when the child, now your son and your daughter grows, and they're going to marry and go and make another family. They're going to leave you. It's a third stage. It will be different. And then they're going to be outside from you. And there may come a stage when they're going to provide for you and bless you back and take care of you. It's a different stage. It can be very humbling too. So we realize here we're grown to sonship in chapter 3 and 4. Now, just to illustrate here, and there are a lot of other jewels here, but just to show in Galatians 3, verse 6, it says, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This was a quotation from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. But the same quotation is taken by James chapter 2, and he adds a point that we are talking about here because that's what the gist of Galatians and what he's trying to tell us here. James chapter 2, please. Thank you. Now he's quoting the same scripture, strangely, very strangely, the same scripture from Genesis 15 verse 6. James chapter 2 verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God.